Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Imagine a year where it's predicted that New York is an awful place to live in 2022. And they get it pretty correct, wow, actually. Wow. Pretty spot on.
That is 22? Wow. That's a good prediction. What year is that, Sandro?
The year is 1973.
These aren't getting any easier. Oh god, where am I? Oh, somehow this is worse than the last location. Oh, it smells awful. It's like a rat with pizza just running around. Like, what? Oh wait, am I in New York?
Hey pal, welcome to New York.
Whoa, it's Christopher walking?
No.
Oh, that's just what
my
I
name's
presumed.
Just Gerald.
Oh, hey Gerald, nice to meet you. Where am I? Who are you?
I just said I'm Gerald.
Yeah, you know what? I fell right into that one. Where am I?
You're What's in up? New York.
Have you happened to seen a strange, deranged man named Sandro denying that reality is a giant coma?
He's on top of that car.
Oh.
Cowabunga, dude!
Oh, he's dressed as a ninja turtle. Yeah, no, that checks out.
Wha-bam! Hey, totally radical bros, who wants some pizza, man?
I hope it's not from that rat over there.
What the fuck's a ninja turtle?
Look, you'll find out in the future, I think, maybe, I don't know. Wait, if I'm in a coma, you're a figment of my imagination. Surely you know what the ninja turtles is, right?
This is a part of your coma that doesn't know what Ninja Turtles are.
Is that your specific thing? Is you are the part of my brain that doesn't know that Ninja Turtles exist?
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. That's why I didn't know who you were.
Hey, I'm walking in.
Oh, my God. I hate this bit.
Only you can stop it.
That's true.
It's all in your mind.
Okay, I need to figure this out, because we need to record another podcast, Sandro. I think, I'm not sure if I need to at all.
We gotta record it without a break, no break, I'm a ninja turtle.
Yeah, that's what I figured. So I'm gonna have to manifest you as something else other than my one part of the brain that doesn't know what the ninja turtles are.
Whoa, it's the personification of the part of your brain that doesn't know what ninja turtles
are. Yeah, but I need to change that. I need to change it to something else. Do you have any ideas, Sandro?
No, I can't think of it. Just pick a random name and make the person turn to that.
Ooh, I know a good one.
You're constipated, my man.
Yeah.
Too much pizza.
Yeah, too much pizza. Look, New York pizza will do that to you.
That's right.
Whoa. Oh, goodly fucking gracious. Yeah. It's me. I'm Zach Rose.
Whoa! It's Zach Rose.
Wait,
of course.
Zach, you were like, I need to turn this part of my brain into a person to be on the podcast, and you pick someone called Zach?
Yeah, obviously. That's the best name to pick.
Oh my goodness.
How you doing, Zach?
I'm good, Zach. How are you doing, Zach?
I'm great, Zach.
Not this again.
You can't stop it, my man.
Yeah, this is my mind. These are my rules.
Zach Rose is here in Zach's brain, but we're not in Zach's brain. We're actually traveling through time in 1973.
It's still a coma, Sandra.
There's no
you
such thing as a coma. There's no such thing as a coma. Zach Rose, do you believe in comas?
Comas happen. Comas are canon.
Are they?
Don't argue with him on this point. There's no point. He's like a brick wall. I've been trying this whole season.
It's the US government. They're lying to you.
What has this got to do with the US government?
They're lying to you.
Wasn't there that young adult novel where the lady, she was in a coma and she was like trying to tell her parents that she loved him or whatever?
Yeah.
Perks of being in a coma?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one.
Welcome to Oldie But a Goodie. We're reviewing Soylent Green.
Yeah, speaking of a repressive government that doesn't want to tell you things.
Oh!
It's Soylent Green!
Soylent Green, we're going to do non-spoilers, and then spoilers, but you probably already know the spoilers, but we're going to try and not talk about it.
Zach, going into this movie, did you know the spoiler?
I did know the spoiler.
Because everyone knows the spoiler.
It's one of those cultural osmosis things.
Yeah, you can't not know the spoiler.
Like, I've never seen Fight Club or Seven, but I know
it. Yeah, so yeah. And so, that initially de-incentivizes me to go and watch said movies because I already know the twist.
That's true.
Yes.
Being said, after watching this, I was like, this was pretty good. This was a good time. Even though I knew the whole thing, it would have been better, I feel, if I didn't.
Yeah.
But even knowing it, I still think this was good enough to, like, go out and watch.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say it. You should watch movies. But also, the rest of the movie, the scenario we're in, the, like, post-apocalyptic crumbling society that we live in some sort of world where, like, there's this global heating up or something.
Something like that. Everything's dying.
Yeah, there's, like, all these animals dying. There's overpopulation.
Yeah.
The housing prices are through the roof, but the rich are still profiting.
They got their hotels.
They're profiteering and everything. Yeah, like, very unrealistic, I feel.
I don't think it. Yeah, this is.
But fun fantasy time, you know?
Fun fantasy time?
yeah.
Fun fantasy time.
It looked fun to me. Did you see that guy being like, soap? Oh my god, this is good. He was having a great time.
He was having a great time. It looked good. So, it was orange.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was orange soap.
It was orange. You're right.
It might have smelled like grapefruit, for all we know.
I do love grapefruit. That's
nice
one of my
grapefruit
favorite
soaps.
Yeah. Zach, what did you think of this one? Other Zach.
Me?
No.
See, other Zach, do you mean me?
Well, in the hypothetical that we're in your mind, obviously you're Zach 1. But comas don't exist. But if they were to exist, you would be Zach 1 because we're in your head.
Okay.
So Zach 2, what did you think?
Have you noticed the name Cheryl sounds like Chair L?
Yeah.
Chair L.
Yeah.
And we're sitting on chairs right now.
We're sitting on chairs. No. But what I'm saying is that the the women in this film are treated like objects.
Oh, and her name is shit. Right.
Cheryl, you notice that?
Cheryl.
Makes
I
you
noticed
think.
It now that you pointed it out to me. Yeah.
That's so true.
But no, I love this movie. It's like, it was so
because
incredibly.
Because women wear objects? Is that why you like the movie?
I see why. Okay, interesting.
That's a bold take to start the podcast.
I asked the wrong person on this one. I think you got the wrong lesson.
Women are objects? What a great movie!
It was really dark.
Yeah.
I like Charlton Heston. He's a good leading man. I trust him.
I trust him.
Even actually, no. He's an asshole.
Yeah,
but,
he sucks.
Like he's an asshole in everything. So
that's
it's like,
true.
I mean, that's
you
how
trust
he was.
Him to be an asshole.
Yeah. Like if I'm in danger, I trust him to maybe help me if possible.
As long as he uses his asshole powers for good.
Yes.
Then that's good.
Yeah, for sure. But you enjoyed the movie? That's good, that's good.
I did.
I think this movie's pretty damn good as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. I'm glad I saw it, because I love sci-fis from the 70s, and this is a good sci-fi from the 70s.
Absolutely.
That very clearly inspired so many sci-fis from the 80s.
Yes.
That are maybe better, but still pretty good.
Yeah,
you know?
This one was surprisingly good. And it's, again, it's one of those movies that I never would have probably seen without doing the podcast because I know the spoiler and because there's so many movies to watch in one's lifetime. It's just very low on my list of things to view, but something I've always wanted to see, and I'm very glad I saw it.
Yeah.
There is one scene that genuinely surprised me though, and that is, I'm not spoiling yet, but I'm saying the going home scene is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
It was dark, it was scary, but it was also like, it was nice and pretty.
Yeah, that's true. I think, the visuals pretty much for this whole, like, this cost, fuck, this was so cheap.
Yeah.
They did pretty well with what they had. Like, I liked how a radioactive green New York is just regular New York with a green
little filter.
Filter over everything.
Yep.
And you can tell it's a filter because whenever the camera pans, the smudges don't move. Small stuff like that. Was great. I like how they used tractors in this. That was really cool. Mm. Pretty good stuff all around.
I liked the multiple uses of the dump trucks.
Mm. Oh.
That they used them for like transport and also security crush vehicles.
Yep.
No well, spoilers.
I had some questions.
Uh-huh.
So like there is a sequence where people are in a protest for more Soylent Green. They are put inside one of those trucks using like a digger thing.
Mm.
Yeah.
When they fell in, like what happened then? Are you just unable to climb out?
Did you not watch the film? Do you know what happened?
No. I know what happens, but what I'm saying is like At that moment when they've been, these alive people have been
put into the truck.
Flung back into the truck.
Yeah.
Why didn't any of them climb out?
Well, actually, the surrounding inside bit is just coated with lube. Just lube.
They're just
everywhere.
Slipping everywhere. Yeah.
It's a slip and slide in there.
It's actually a pretty fun time.
It's a pretty it's fun time. A fun All right. Time.
And that's why people don't leave. Not because they can't get out. No. Because they don't want to.
They just have a fun time.
I think they're great.
I've dropped a player.
Fuck it. Sandro.
I think
you think
they maybe get arrested? Maybe.
Yeah.
Although we never see the prisons.
We don't see what happens after. I just presume they go to where all the other bodies go in this film.
I see, yes.
Also what I thought as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. Maybe there's like some meat grinders in the
Okay. That makes sense.
I'd like to see that actually.
No, I wouldn't actually.
Just
that's fucked
people
up.
Are just kind of put in there. This is hard to do non-spoilers for.
You know what I liked?
What did you
I liked
like?
Some of the blood. I love the blood in 70s movies.
Because it looks
like the SpaghettiOs, but you've taken the SpaghettiOs out. Love that.
We just recently reviewed Friday the 13th, I believe the 8th movie.
Number 8, yep.
Yeah, on our Patreon.
Ooh, and check it out. It's out now, patreon.com.
And there is definitely just like tomato sauce /
yes.
red dye thrown everywhere.
Well, I would say in this movie it was strawberry jam.
Oh.
That's funny, yeah, because they couldn't have used strawberry jam as the blood, because people would have been able to see strawberry jam, and then they would have had to use something else specifically. That's
true.
Funny.
Yeah. No, I quite like a lot of this movie. I think it's pretty good. I do like how they blame the scientists for wrecking everything.
They do.
That was pretty fucked. Well,
science
it
went too far.
Because it is meant to be like a corporation runs the world.
And
the Soylent Company. So of course they wouldn't blame capitalism, or they wouldn't blame other companies. They'd be like, those damn scientists fucking up our world. I thought that was really interesting. Thought that was good.
I'm going to say it. I think that might be propaganda.
Mm. Whoa.
Yeah.
That's
a
right.
bold take. I know.
Huge.
I'm really stretching here, but I think it might just be propaganda.
Yep.
And actually, the company was bad.
Oh. Ooh.
That's pretty controversial.
Yeah, it's pretty controversial.
And what is Soylent Green, though? Not the spoiler, but is it? Because it looks crisp.
It does.
It looks
crisp
delicious.
Chip.
But like when the...
Well, it's meant to be like a solid block of plankton, right?
Yes.
That's how they advertised it, was they were like condensing plankton into these little like cracker pieces.
Yes.
So people could essentially just eat pure condensed.
But when
like
the police chief is having the red one, Soylent Red, he's sitting on the desk, it kind of looks like chewy. It kind of looks like like a kind of toffee.
Yeah. I'd say so. It probably has that sort of consistency because of all the condensing together, right? They might add something to it, like some sort of weird chemical that gives you cancer in 30 years, but
maybe
like congeals it all together.
It's probably a good thing though, because then you die in 30 years and then overpopulation is pretty solved in that case.
Whoa.
Killing people to solve population? They would never, Sandro. How dare you accuse them of such a thing?
But yeah, because Soylent Green is plankton. We don't know what makes up the other Soylent products. Obviously, the original probably is soy.
Mm.
Have you ever had hardtack before?
What's hardtack?
Hardtack. It's literally what it sounds like. It's just like a solid piece of cracker.
It's
like really hard. It's what you make for like survival situation when you're in a camp.
Oh, like MREs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's what I imagined it was. It was like this super tough, carb-densed thing that you'd have to like gnaw on to get anything out. That's what I imagined. But maybe the red ones are more luxury and they're more chewy, you know, easier to digest. You know? Do you guys want to eat some? Would you? If you were offered...
If I was offered sterling... Well, I don't want to get into the spoilers right now.
Yeah, no. We can't do that.
I don't necessarily have an issue with the ideas in this movie.
Oh my God.
Just the way they go about doing it.
I forgot how insane my version of Sandra in my head was.
That's true.
That's an insane thing. We should probably just jump into spoilers.
We probably should. I'm having
so
a look.
Talk about these.
Having a look at some fun facts here.
Ooh,
okay. We should mention a couple credits. This was directed by Richard Fleischer, who Zach directed 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Oh, that was really good.
From last year. We did that one last year.
That
he also did Conan the Barbarian, which is very funny.
That one is great, but also more misogynistic than this one.
Yes.
The movie is based off a novel called Make Room, Make Room, which, funnily enough, was based in 1999.
Ah.
So they decided to pump up that year a little
bit. Yeah, they were like, we need to add a couple of years on this bad boy.
Yeah. I'm always like, with movies, particularly in the 80s, movies that have a date for when sci-fi shit's gonna happen.
Yeah.
Is always interesting.
2015.
It's like 2015. Yeah. 20...
In the distant future of 2009.
Exactly. It's like, The Running Man was like 2016 or something
as well. Yeah.
2001 Space Odyssey, obviously, all that sort of
Back
stuff.
Back to the Future as well.
Yeah.
We 2015. Passed that one. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah. I remember that. That was a big thing.
I want to know who makes that decision. Who sits down, or is it just like a side thought?
I got a few cheeky facts.
You got some cheeky facts.
So Roy Jensen, the assassin man, guy playing assassin man, his lines were all dubbed.
I noticed that early on. Yeah,
there was one scene where it was like really bad, the dubbing and like the guy's movements. In the other scenes, I couldn't really notice it, but there was one scene, I think it's when him and the, like, cop are talking together in the one room, and they're sort of, like, moving around the room, but then I didn't notice it throughout the rest of the film. Mm. But that one scene, I was like, ooh.
I think as well, he said something with such a Canadian accent,
yes,
and I was instantly taken out of it. Which was great. What are the fun facts?
Other fun facts, well, this one's not very fun, but this is just, like... this was Edward G. Robinson's last movie.
Oh, yeah, he plays
Sol,
the old man.
Oh, yeah. Oh, really?
Lovely, sweet old man.
Yeah, yeah.
He was 101 in this, though.
Yeah.
He was an old bloke. He's an old dude.
Charlton Heston bought him wines and cheeses, because...
That's Pog!
Because he knew he was dying, so he was just like, have some cheese, my man.
Aww. That's awesome. They're literally... And then in the movie, he just eats apples and jam and stuff.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's good.
And that was improv too. That eating scene I've read somewhere on IMDb. Yeah.
Improv. Okay. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I think as well, his final scene in the movie is the final thing he ever shot as well.
Yes.
Which was really cool. I think that's really good.
It's kind of beautiful.
Wow. Very nice. Yeah.
Also, so Edward G. Robinson and Charlton Heston, they met before on The Ten Commandments.
Mm. Oh,
yes.
There you go. Everyone's favorite.
And Edward G. Robinson was going to be, did some test footage for Planet of the Apes as Dr. Zaius.
Ah.
We do love a bit of Planet of the Apes. I keep trying to make Sandra watch more of them.
Well,
we've watched like four.
We've seen one, the Mark Wahlberg one.
Yeah, the best one.
I would like to go through the proper ones at some point, but maybe that'll have to be a series somewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah.
On like some sort of separate like place
separate
where you
thing.
Can go and subscribe up and listen to bonus episodes.
Or maybe next year
everyone.
On the show we do our gimmick is we just watch franchises.
True.
Yeah,
could work. We get so sick of them though.
Yeah.
But you'll get into the Matt Reeves ones and it'll be fun.
I love the Matt Reeves ones.
Yeah, I love the Matt Reeves ones.
Anyway.
The guy playing the priest, he's in a movie called Omega Man, which will star Charlton Heston.
Huh? Ah. Wow. Charlton Heston just loves going back to the same people.
He bloody does.
Over and over again.
And Omega Man, of course, being the movie equivalent of I Am Legend.
But yes. I Am Legend is a movie, though.
I Am Legend is a movie with Will Smith.
With a great ending that they changed from the original.
At least two endings.
Yep.
Yes.
Speaking of multiple endings, I want to just maybe rattle off some movies that that Soylent Green reminded me of.
Ooh.
Then you two can react to whether or not I'm based on that opinion.
Oh boy.
Or more likely, cringe.
Blade Runner.
Based.
Because it's the same. It's the same movie, but beautiful. With different plot points.
Yep. Based.
The Tears and Rain speech.
That's, for fuck's sake.
Another plate.
Stop throwing plates around. We did this last year, Sandro.
RoboCop.
Based. Mm. Yes, we watched RoboCop on the show, RoboCop. And that's a great movie.
That is a great movie.
RoboCop surprised me how great it was.
RoboCop's fantastic. I feel like RoboCop, like, not necessarily the themes, but definitely the way New York looks in this and the way New York looks in RoboCop.
Well,
very similar.
The theme of a corporation taking over the world, you know, it has similar themes.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny that Paul Verhoeven's actually really religious.
Yeah.
That is funny,
right?
Yeah, yeah. How funny. Because all these movies are either, like, RoboCop and Starship Troopers, or they're all just sex films. They're all just sex films. He's a great director. I like him.
I mean, have you read the Bible? That stuff's steamy.
That's true. Whew. I don't have any of the movies you bring up.
What?
I had two movies. Yeah, I had two movies.
Gotta be done.
he just wants to quit now so he can just be based and we don't say cringe for any of this.
Blade Runner 2049.
Fuck cringe. Yeah. No. Cringe. Based.
What about
I love it.
Dune?
Which one?
The 2000 miniseries on Sci-Fi that I'm the only one who's watched.
Only one.
I don't know whether cringe or based, actually. Know. But if you said David Lynch, it was going to be based.
It would be.
Because both movies were cheap. That's why.
And based.
And Sting was in it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
What's some other fun facts? Was that all your fun facts?
We've run out of fun
we've
facts.
We've run out of fun facts.
It's time to get
Oh, actually, no. There's another fun fact.
Oh my God, okay. One more
Edward
fun
G.
fact.
Robinson was almost totally deaf.
Oh my goodness.
So he was doing things through just like saying them and hoping that he got the rhythm right, and he wouldn't know when the director would say cut.
Oh my goodness.
Oh wow. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, let's rate it and move on to some taglines.
I'm giving it a goodie.
Goodie?
Yeah, it's pretty obviously a goodie from me.
Goodie!
Cool. That's another goodie.
Yeehaw.
And I'm going to give this a solid goodie as well.
Three goodies across the board.
Taglines. These are from IMDb. Thumb up or thumb down from both of you for these taglines.
Go on.
What's the secret of Soylent Green?
It's not.
I'm going to give it a midi thumb.
That's a down.
That's a down from you?
It doesn't entice me.
Doesn't entice you, yeah.
To me, it makes you be like, oh, this movie's got a twist in it.
Yeah.
Which is like,
this one has aged the worst of all the taglines, I bet you.
We all know what the twist is.
Secret could be anything.
What's the twist? Yeah, everyone knows the twist.
Could be gonorrhea. That's the secret.
That's the secret. Twist.
All right. People need it in the year 2022.
Oh.
That's racy.
That's a
movie.
I'm going to give this a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
Because
I'm a hoe.
This intrigues me because I don't know what this means.
No, me neither.
Would make me Google the movie.
What do people need? What do they need? This is the best tagline.
Ooh.
And the last one as well. It's the year 2022. People are still the same. They'll do anything to get what they need, and they need Soylent Green.
Ooh. Double thumbs up. Huge. That's a winner.
These taglines seem very horny.
They are, aren't they? It's the 70s, man. It's a weird
time. That's true. I'll also give this a thumbs up. That is a fun one. I like that one.
Hi, I'm Sally McSeller, and as an American, I love when horror franchises come to my hometown of New York City. And oh boy, is that what the Friday the 13th franchise did? Yes, it is, in Jason Takes Manhattan, which is number 8. and Sandro and Zach from Oldie But A Goodie have gone and bloody reviewed it.
Why did I say bloody? I'm an American. Anyway, here is a clip for your ear holes.
They all escape the boat. They get in a life raft. They go to New York, and Jason, he follows them the whole way. Now, Zach, do you think that Jason swam, or did he walk across the bottom of the ocean like Pirates of the Caribbean?
I imagine he had like a boat above him, and he's doing boat. the exact scene from Pirates of the Caribbean where he like walked underwater but with a boat for oxygen
on top of him. Yes.
While yes, Jason doesn't spend that much time in New York in the movie Jason Takes Manhattan, I do have to say that there is some good New York action in there, and the boys really did a damn good job reviewing it. And you can get that episode over at patreon.com/oldiebutagoodiepod with one bonus episode a month and all the ad-free episodes of the main show that you can swing your American-loving hat at. That's right. I'm an American, and I'm from New York. Lore drop. Woohoo! Alright, spoiler alert. We're getting into spoilers.
Spoilers?
That's right. Planet of the Apes was actually Earth all along.
Whoa!
That's right.
It was actually everyone on the Orient Express. They're all responsible.
Oh my god.
Dumbledore dies.
The sandworms make the spies.
Whoa!
Space Jihad.
Space Jihad. Paul sucks, actually. That's the whole point of the book. No one got it.
You missed the point if you idolized Rick Sanchez.
Scott Pilgrim's the worst bloke ever.
He's terrible.
He's bad.
We hate him.
Elijah Wood is a handsome man.
And Soylent Green is made out of...
Yes,
he is, isn't he?
Yeah.
It's a fact.
This
is a fact.
Soylent Green is people. That's
no! Whoa! What the fuck?
Holy jeebus.
And here's my thing. I'm okay with this.
This is a very based take, I think.
Like, if you're old and you're like, I want to die, get euthanized, that's fine. Get turned into food. Why not? If I was an old person, I would kill myself to be made into food if there was nothing left to do. However, the fact that this is run by corporations and the fact that you can't have a funeral kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
But the general idea here I think is really interesting, which is what I like about this movie is like the post-apocalyptic world and the stuff they bring up, like Soylent Green as people. I'm like, that's fine. I'm okay with this. There's no animals left, may as well. But the way that is being made is the problem, and it's all about how corporations suck and those scientists ruined everything, as per usual. That's my hot take. What's
science went too far. You're goddamn right.
I cannot wait for 40 years to me to bring up this so that I can turn you into a fucking cracker.
I'm
60. Yeah, you're 60. It's like, I don't want to die. Yeah, but 40
I'd rather
years
be,
ago.
I think I'd be jerky if I could choose anything.
Oh, yeah, you'd like to be life. Dried. I feel that. I feel like that. You get the most out of it, you know?
We'll take you to the coma, please.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. I'm like, his shock is interesting, because I'm like, he's so shocked and outraged at what this is, and everyone
is
shocked and outraged at what this is, which is fair enough, but also,
I mean,
like,
fair.
You know,
he's gonna get
worst.
Inside
Cause,
a truck.
Because this, here's the problem, right? They haven't told the public, and it's like a situation where it's like, the rich are turning the poor into
exactly.
food.
Exactly.
It's not like everyone, when they die, they, you know, sign this consent form, you know, everything, and then you know that if you're eating this, you're eating people, but you've not got much of a choice. But, like, you can still choose that sort of thing.
Mm.
Open knowledge. No, they've decided to go the other route.
It's a secret.
Misinformation.
And it's all poor people that are being turned into food,
I would hate
mostly.
I hate to agree with you, Sandra, but I did say earlier on that I did want to try and eat some Soylent Green. Like, I really wanted, like, watching this film, I was like, I was wondering, what is the texture? What's the flavor?
But that's the thing, is like, it's meant to be plankton.
Yes.
Do you think it's flavored to be plankton?
Yeah, I think that's what they've done.
That doesn't sound very good.
No.
I think they originally started out with plankton and then rapidly ran out, and they were like, well, shit.
Whoops.
Dead bodies then, I guess.
Is it salted?
I'd say so.
Probably. Or you have to salt it yourself.
Well, because it's plankton, right? So it comes from the ocean. So it's got to be naturally salty. So that I think they just salt it a bit. You know what? I take it back. I don't think they flavor it as plankton because no one would remember what plankton tastes like.
I was going to say that. I'm like, you don't have to.
They could just flavor it whatever.
I read somewhere that it's soy and lentils.
Soy and lentils. Okay. Yeah. That's because right. Soy lent. Soy. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, though, is that what the original Soylent product was? Is soy and lentils? Yeah. Or is green meant to also be that? But they're just using plankton to make something that tastes that way? I don't know.
I think it was a version of their thing, because we see the red ones
well. Yeah. Which is made out of pea. That's what they don't tell you.
Wow,
I didn't know that fact, son.
That's fun.
Like the sequel.
that's the unreleased sequel.
And red is made out of peppers.
Oh,
don't know how they got peppers. The only plant to survive.
Is this your fan fiction on Archive of Our Own?
Yes. Yeah. But, funnily enough, this does remind me of Dune. Because when someone dies, they, like, wrap up their body and to, like, preserve their water or whatever.
They do that.
That's true.
And other things like that. So it's a similar case to that where it's like, yeah, if you die, you should be, you know, preserved and your resources redistributed. But maybe eating people bad. I'm going to throw this out here.
Huge.
Maybe. Yeah. I think that's maybe a bad thing.
Zach looks very glad about the situation. Yeah. Being like, oh, thank God someone's against eating people here. I was getting real nervous under the collar.
But I mean, if there's no food left... I don't know. Yeah, it's an interesting hypothesis.
Yeah.
Sandro, pro-cannibalism.
I am pro-cannibalism if all the animals and plants are dead. That's
pro-cannibalism.
That's the big thing there. That scene as well, speaking of, like, they wouldn't know what plankton tastes like, so why would you flavor it like that? The scene where, what's his name, he makes a steak, and they're eating it, and they're like, this steak's so good. They did make it into a stew, so my issue is fine with this, but steak doesn't taste very good without seasoning.
True.
They don't have seasoning to make this steak. They're just eating meat with no seasoning on it. They wouldn't think it would taste good. That's my hot take.
Well, that's why Thorne, like, when he's tasting it, he's just like, there's a sense of, like, he's not actually appreciating what Sol has actually made.
They might still have salt there. Might be still a thing. And I would argue that maybe it's more like texture of the food, right? Because they've been eating these, like, stale cracker things for a long time. And, like, texture is an important part of eating food as well, not just flavor.
Yeah.
So when they're eating it, like an apple, right, you got that crunch, that rib. That looked delicious. I'm just saying. Watching them crunch on an apple, I was like, oh man, I could go for an apple about now.
And he went for the whole thing.
Yeah, it was just
he ate the core.
I eat cores. I do that all the time.
That's almost as bad as me wanting to eat people.
I did that in front of my cousins once and they went, what the f-? They just never seen that. Yeah, waste not, want not. Sandro, you should be on board here. You're pro-cannibalism, but anti-eating the core of an apple.
I mean, all I said was in the hypothetical situation of there being no food and animals, I would eat that. But right now, there's plenty of food and plenty of animals I'm not eating.
Don't be in the same house with Sandro when his fridge runs out. You know, I'm just saying. if it takes longer than 5 minutes to walk to the store, you might be in danger in Sandro's house.
This is true.
If it hits a scenario, I hope I'm never stuck on an island with Sandro.
But would you get on an island with Charlton Heston?
Absolutely.
Would you?
Yeah.
He beats everyone up, though.
He does?
Yeah. No, I'd gladly be food for that guy, just not Sandro.
So Charlton Heston plays Robert Thorne. Mm. He's a detective for the police, the corrupt police, obviously. And he's got to solve the murder of Simonson, who knew that Soylent Green was people, and we find that out. The mystery there is really good. I liked how it's like just a guy randomly dies. It's so procedural. He's trying to find out what happened. And then it's like, he was on the board of directors at Soylent. And I like that because it's like, we all know what the twist is, but we're just trying to figure out how they get to that twist.
Was the interesting part. I like... yeah, the process of him actually finding it out. I like that because there's no books anymore. There's no computers. There's no nothing. No one knows who works for who, right?
Mm.
So finding out that this guy actually worked for Soylent was a big thing.
Yeah. You
know, that was quite important. Whereas nowadays we can just Google someone and be like, ah, so this is when their birthday is. Here's their address. Here's their, you know, all these things.
And like he was killed by the mayor, which is, or the governor, which is quite interesting. But he was killed because I guess he just found out what Soylent Green was. Or he had always known. That's what
I think he always has known, but he'd like started getting more conscious about it.
Mm. Yeah.
Because he starts going to church, right?
Yeah.
So clearly he's like, huh, maybe this is kind of fucked up.
Maybe.
And then he, of course, confesses to the thing. And they're like, oh, at this stage, they're like, okay, this guy has become a liability.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's become thing. And he knows this because when they come to kill him, he's like, yeah, that checks out. Yeah.
This
yeah.
Fair enough.
I probably should be killed, actually. Yeah. It's necessary.
It was with a wild, like, hook thing.
It was a crowbar.
It was a crowbar, but, like, it didn't look like a crowbar because they were
like a crowbar to me.
They needed to make it look like a hook so that it was.
Yeah, because the whole time they're like, he was killed by a meat hook.
Oh,
but the whole time I was like, it was just a crowbar, though.
I thought their forensics team was just bad at their job.
Possible.
They're eating all the food.
Yeah, that's true. The forensics team just came in and raided the fridge as well. Along with, because it's great, when the cop comes in to first investigate the scene, he just immediately starts stealing things from this rich guy and stuff. Which is funny because one of the things they point out is the assassin guy just didn't steal anything.
Yeah.
Which is suspicious.
And he's like, well, this place is, everything's going to get sold
when
anyway.
When the cop, the first thing the detective does when he enters is steal stuff. You know it's going to be suspicious if no one steals things,
this
right?
This is true.
He like literally like is like, all right, go grab me some booze. I need to fill this sack full of silks and booze and soap and other things, you know?
But yeah, he is the main character, this cop guy. But he also, as a person, he's pretty mean. He's which I really liked.
Yes,
that element of it.
He's definitely not like a golden boy. He's not. He's redeeming isn't the word I'm looking for. But like
endearing.
No, definitely not the word.
Definitely not endearing.
Not no, but I mean like he's realistic. He's not like a just a golden boy superhero that always does the right thing. He's just a guy. He's kind of a dick.
He very much belongs in this terrible world.
Yeah. He's grown up in it. He's never seen the fields of horses and roses while classical music plays in the background.
That's right.
You know?
So sad.
That hit me so damn hard.
Oh, really? Yeah. We'll get there.
But, like, the first thing he does when he goes to interrogate someone is he just punches them.
Yes!
Whenever he asks anyone anything, he just throws them up against a wall and just, like, gets in their face and stuff. Mm. Yeah, it's really good. I like that. I like that element of it. Because the movie is an anti-cop, but it's also, like, cops, they're violent.
Yeah.
He's actually quite corrupt, I think, as a cop. You know, he steals things. He's really aggressive. Everyone, like, doesn't stop him.
True.
And it's not out of kindness. It's out of fear, I think. Mm. You know, they're like, if I mess with the cops, they're going to beat me up. You know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I thought that was really interesting. Other stuff in this dystopia that was interesting was the housing situation and how every house comes with a wife. So wife
comes with
the apartment comes with a woman, which is really interesting. That's an interesting idea because that means that the head of the complex is basically a pimp.
Yes.
Which is interesting.
It's weird because there's like other women that are not furniture, as they call them.
Yes.
They call them
furniture. But then there are some that are, and it's weird. It's weird. Especially the first thing, like, when the cop comes in, he, like, examines the girl and is like, huh, he didn't beat the shit out of you. What a great guy. And I was like, whoa! It's not revealed, but, like, you slowly get it that she's actually, they consider her more object than person.
Yes.
Yes.
And so that sort of thing is like, it's slowly revealed. And I'm like, oh, I see. I get it. That's why he's like, oh, you didn't get beaten the shit out of by the thing. Yeah, because they don't respect her. And I'm like, oh.
Okay. Yeah. And I find that interesting. I think that could be a good spin-off, is just focusing on a character like that. Yes. What happens when she rebels? It's kind of like Detroit a little bit. Like,
yes.
She's basically
100%.
An android.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Essentially an android.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Detroit become human.
That's right.
That's a good comparison,
that's a
great actually.
That's a good one.
Based comparison.
That is based.
Another based comparison.
I've got so many base stuff in this episode. This is great. But yeah, I found that interesting. It's not really a romance between her and Charlton Heston. They try and do something, but
She's like...
Well, she's like, hey, I feel unsafe in a house by myself, but this is also my work, but it's my house.
Yeah.
Just stay here. And he's like, yeah, I'm Charlton Heston.
Yeah, I'm gonna bang this chick.
Because it is implied that he could have his way with anyone. And there's that moment where Martha offers sex and he's just like, no, I'm tired. I'm going home. I got shit to do.
Yeah. I think it's interesting to go to the start of it because we see Soylent Green being distributed to the masses as like rationed food, right?
Yeah.
And people getting angry because the rations are getting smaller. You know, there's that riot scene.
Yeah, that riot scene
is a pretty fun one.
That was a great riot scene. I liked when the assassin got squashed.
Yes!
Oh, yes!
Pretty good.
I did cheer.
Yeah, so they... we'll talk about it. People are grabbing this food, but the food is getting scarcer and scarcer, and the cops have to inform them. They're like, there's going to be a riot if we tell them this. And he's like, yeah, all right, get ready. And so then the cop announces, hey, we're closing up. You know, everybody needs to leave now. And they're like, dude, it's a Tuesday. We've been here like 5 minutes. Why are we being kicked out? I need food. And of course, they start rioting because they need food.
Yep.
And then the dump trucks come in with digger trowels in front of them to like dig up protesters.
Yep. Put them in the back.
And like dump him in the tray full of lube.
Lubed
up and meat grinders, I believe, is the canon in there. Slippery meat, my favorite.
Yum. Movie meat, my favorite.
Yes, you gotta get it all slippery.
that was such a great sequence. Them all just being put in the truck.
Yeah, and then someone tries to shoot the main lead guy.
Yep.
Keeps shooting other people.
Yeah. Yes. He's a pretty bad assassin, to be honest.
Right.
Kind of his fault. And then he gets chased. Till he like trips over underneath one of these giant digger devices and it just fucking flattens him like a pancake.
That's right.
And I was like, oof. Sucks to be that guy.
Yeah. Sucks to be that guy.
You could obviously tell the cut between where they got the actor out from under there and then when he was squashed, but it looked pretty good. I think
it was terrible.
Yeah, okay.
Because
that's
what
fair.
A waste of human, you know? You could have turned that into like at least
that's a good
10
point.
Packets
true.
Of spoilers.
They weren't trying to kill him though. They weren't trying to.
No. They're using giant metal like digging dump trucks to to like move protesters. I think there's some malice in there. I think he's not the only casualty of this, you know? I'm just gonna throw it out there.
They do a lot of the overpopulation stuff, though. Zach,
they do.
What did you think of how there's just people...
On the stairs!
On the stairs.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just like fucking Willy Wonka.
Just like Willy Wonka.
Cringe comparison, actually.
Oh, man, remember when Grandpa Joe sang that song, like, don't believe in yourself?
Fucking Grandpa Joe.
What a bitch.
Fuck
can't
that guy.
Work. Oh, I'm too old. Oh, wait, we won a ticket? It's dancing time, boys.
I wonder if they explain Grandpa Joe's origin in Wonka. Now I kind of want to watch it.
Now I do, too. You've convinced me. Let's go.
Let's go watch Wonka.
Let's go watch Wonka.
I'll pass.
But yeah, what did you think of all the overpopulation?
Oh man, it was intense. Just like watching Thorn try and just trudge up the stairs every single time
he went home.
He
like has to like climb over people because there's just people sleeping on the stairs and everything. And I'm like,
One time, just the woman who was tied to a child just fucking died.
Yeah,
so he had
to
grab the child and take take the child to the church.
That was a good scene, because she was clearly going to the church to try and give the child, because she couldn't take care of it. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And what happened is they tied to the child so she didn't lose the child.
Yeah.
And they're like, the massive crowds of people that there are, because there's just like, they're like sardines in the street.
Yep, yep, yep.
And yeah, she just dies. So he has to like untie this kid from his dead mother and take her in. I'm like, whoa. Sucks for that kid.
Sucks for that kid.
That's true.
Then sucks as a waste of
that,
mum, you that know?
That shitty
mum
church.
Made into like 15 bags of Soylent Green. I'm just
that's
saying.
True. Yeah. You're making some great
so
points.
So much wastage in this film. I'm just
the
saying.
Produce, my man. Yeah, the produce.
Yeah. That was the sad bit.
This is true, yeah. Well, because is Soylent Green just people who die, like just old people who are youthful?
I don't think so. I think it's anybody
everyone.
They can get in those trucks, right? So I think you get protesters, you get political adversaries,
yeah.
You get cops that dig in too much into an investigation about a really rich guy that died in under mysterious circumstances.
Yep.
You get all of the above, you're chucking them in the pot, you're popping out some Soylent Green. It's a good time for everyone.
That's right.
Everyone.
Every single person.
Except maybe cops.
True. But yeah, the amount of extras on the street, on the stairs, in the church as well.
Oh yeah, the church was good.
For the riot scene. That's a lot of extras in
it
this
is.
Movie.
Yeah.
And I read that it's all at the back of the MGM.
Oh right, okay.
Yeah, like the second studio, I think.
Right.
At the back lot.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All of it was shot there.
There was a point, though, when I think he's walking down the street, and I was like, this doesn't look like a real street. And my partner was like, yeah, it's MGM. It's on set.
Yeah.
They never use on set locations.
Yeah.
Which is true.
I did love the matte painting when he's running to... It just looked real pretty.
It
I
did
was
look
just
pretty.
Like, that's a nice matte painting.
Yeah. When was that? When he's running towards the facility?
The facility, yeah. When he's running towards the facility.
Yeah, yeah. That one shot is really nice.
Where Saul is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, like, the movie is cheap, but it doesn't look super cheap. But when the riot helmets were just football helmets that were painted over.
Yeah, but also, maybe they don't have riot helmets. Literally, the police department can't afford them. They literally take whatever.
Well, the police department also scraps. Like, they're getting scraps for doing their job.
So, here's the thing, right? So maybe that's actually just realistic that they're like, yeah, we can't actually give you any protection, so make it yourself. You know?
Yes.
But yeah, this whole time, Saul is doing research into what's going on.
Yes.
He's doing research into what is going on. He's staying at Thorne's house.
Yes.
Because Saul wants to go and kill himself, basically. This whole movie, Saul's like...
100%, yes.
I'm old, I'm done, I want
to
leave.
I don't know if at the start of the film he wanted to kill himself.
He says a line, he's like, I need to go home, and go home is die.
Yeah, okay, that's fair.
So he says that from the start. Well, maybe he doesn't know what that is, though.
Well, yeah, no, I think you're right. I think you're right, he does. But he's more like... He less wants to kill himself, more like, this world is shit.
Oh, yeah.
I hate this world. Because he's so old that he remembers the world before it turned into this post-apocalyptic nightmare.
That's
of
right.
The world, you know?
I quite like that, how, yeah, he's, like, fondly remembering everything. I liked as well how, like, his character was meant to be born in the 50s? So this taking place in the 70s would have been interesting because the core demographic of people going to see this would have been in their 20s, which would have meant they were born in the 50s.
Right, like, oh my god, that's crazy.
I thought that was really interesting.
That's a good take, actually.
It's good attention to detail.
Yeah, I like that. And yeah, he helps out by being able to read, which is a skill that is more scarce. And it's funny because when he meets up with other people that can read, they're all old people.
That was a great scene.
The place where everyone, like all these books and other things, it's all old people because they're the only ones who know how to read.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
And there are women there.
Oh my god.
And they're not furniture.
Yeah.
What?
That's the only female character who isn't just an object.
Yes.
Well, there's that scene, the like party with all the women in it. Where all the
furniture.
Oh yeah,
furniture.
You're right.
It's a furniture party.
Wait. And then all the others are just extras.
There's a nun
in line.
Oh yeah, and then there's piles of extras in the street. But
yeah.
You know what? Everybody who talks on screen, except for maybe the nun.
Mm.
Yeah, all of them are furniture. Wow, that's crazy. That's wild.
Big oofed.
But all those old people are meant to be the Supreme Exchange. Is that the Supreme Court? That must be the lawmakers or something. I'm not sure what they are.
I think that is,
I think they're meant to be, Which is interesting that this world is so controlled by corporations that politics is just a bunch of old people in a library.
Yeah.
It's very interesting.
Well, they're not in a library in our world, but...
But yeah, he goes to them, they read a bunch of books that reveal that the oceans obviously are dying, which means that they can't make Soylent Green out of plankton. And then
that's odd.
I guess he makes the revelation himself. He's like, oh, that means, and then cut to the next scene or something. Something like that. That was a bit
silly. He goes to the facility, right? Or
not Sol.
No.
No, so I think Sol talks with the group, right?
Yeah, but do they figure it out, or does he?
I think they know, but don't have any evidence. That's the thing, right? I think that's the problem. That's why he's like, go tell them, and that's why at the very end of the film, he says, I have evidence, I have seen it. Right? That's Soylent Green is people. That's the line he says at the end of the film, which leads me to believe the thing they needed was evidence, right?
Yes.
Before they could do anything. The Supreme Council, they know. They know what's happening, but they can't do anything because they have no evidence.
They just need evidence. And whenever anyone finds out, they go crazy. So it's impossible to get any evidence.
They go home.
Which is what Solomon does. He goes home, he fills out a form, and then he is killed. In that scene, which was pretty good.
It was pretty good.
Wow. He watches a bunch of B-roll of nature. He watches a nature documentary.
I like the classical music. I was like, damn.
Yeah, we were joking about that while watching it. He picked classic, because they ask you, what's your favorite sort of music? And he says it's classical. I was like, what if your favorite sort of music was trap? What if you were like,
you're gonna die?
What if you were like, I like hard style? Can we have some hard style?
I like hard style dubstep nightcore remix, please.
I like German industrial.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Goblin core, it's my favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Gremlin core.
I like Aussie rap. Oh. give me that Aussie rap.
I like crab core.
Yeah. I think there's a genre of metal called egg core.
Egg core. Okay, all
right. That exists pretty good.
You got a J-pop. You got the, what's it? The baby metal.
Baby metal.
Baby Ooh. Metal.
It's a good band. Yeah. I like them.
Well, there is something I have seen. I've seen online.
But you've seen something?
I've seen something. With my eyes.
You've seen too much. Seen stuff.
I have evidence.
Oh, no.
Oh, shit.
Ladies and gentlemen. Basically, what I saw was Sol's death scene, but they changed the song. How to Disappear Completely by Radiohead.
Ooh, nice.
And it was just, it hit just as hard. That's I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was pretty good, yeah.
So, Sandro, what would you pick to play?
What would I pick?
Ooh.
Maybe like a 40-minute long song. So
yes! It
takes as long as possible.
I'll do that.
Tubular Bells.
Yes! Part one. Part one's better than part... Really?
Part one is better than part two, yeah.
Say specifically, I need both parts.
Specifically both parts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like with part one, because you got the part from The Exorcist, and then it kind of leads into I quite like the groove that kicks in 18 minutes.
Oh,
my
favorite
part of Tubular Bells.
Tubular Bells, but the 18-minute part, play that on loop
for section.
20 minutes.
Now, my pick would be the King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard album, Nonagon Infinity, because it just repeats on itself constantly, therefore meaning I would just stay there, the song would never end, so they can't kill me.
You'd be immortal.
I would be immortal, you constantly watching nature b-roll for the rest of my life.
Nonagon Infinity opens the door. Oh my god.
I'd pick classical. I think that's a good choice.
You'd pick classical.
No, you'd pick the Space Jam theme song.
Oh, hell yeah. I do like the Space Jam theme. That's Everybody get up. It's time to slam now.
What would your go-to song
My go-to be? Song, like, you've already picked Tubular Bells. I kind of want Tubular Bells, but only part one. Because I don't want to die to, like, caveman.
Everyone knows.
Wicked Rock.
And then you're just like, fuck, why did I pick this? Dies. No, I'd pick All Star by Smash Mouth, obviously.
Oh, hell yeah.
That'd be the best way to go.
That's a good one. So he's died. Thorn has snuck into the place where he has been killed, and he's like, I need to follow the body.
Yeah.
So he follows the body and sees through a very long series of him watching random people do their job, which was great. I made a note at one point where I think he's sneaking through one of the conveyor belts. And I'm like, yeah. Where is everyone?
Yeah.
Where is everyone? And then two people comically just like come onto screen. Yeah, I'm like, sure. There they are. There they are. But yeah. He finds out that Soylent Green is made out of people, and then he has to go on the run. He
trips over some bins.
That's true. Oh yeah. He kills two innocent factory workers.
Yeah.
Innocent factory workers, yes. Oh,
look, they were just doing their jobs.
That's a base take.
At the factory where they murder people for food. You know, they were just doing their jobs.
Don't ask me, I just work here, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. I quite like that action sequence. It's pretty good. It's a good show.
I do. And there's no dialogue because they didn't want it to be an action movie.
That's right.
Mm.
There's no dialogue and no music either.
Yes.
Nothing. Yeah. It's good.
I like how he like goes to the phone, frantically calls, and then you see the people coming for him and he's like, oh shit, please come and help me.
Yeah.
Hangs up phone.
Yes.
That's it. And then he's just running, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's all he can say.
There's no phone booths either. Mm.
There are no phone, but where's the free Telstra phone booth?
There's no free Telstra phone booths. I'm outraged.
This is the straw that broke the camel's back. You're fine with cannibalism, but no phone booths?
There are no phone booths.
Inhumane.
Do you use phone booths in your regular day-to-day?
Of course. It's 1974.
Oh, that's true. You are just a bit of my conscious in a coma.
That has never seen Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's true.
There's no such thing as comas.
Eastman doesn't exist.
Oh, yeah. So Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, they are turtles who were in the sewers of New York and a radioactive waste port on them. And then they turned into talking turtles.
Whoa.
And then they were adopted by a disgusting rat man who made them fight.
I bet his name's Splinter.
He
sounds like a Splinter.
It is Splinter.
Whoa!
Yeah.
Except in other stories where the toxic waste isn't a thing, but we won't get into that, but anyway.
When they're experimented on.
Yeah, when they're experimented on. Yeah.
Yeah.
In everyone's favorite movie series. Anyway.
They were experimented on in the new one. The new one was really good.
The new one was really good.
Anyway, not important. right now, he runs into the church. He goes to tell the priest what's going on. The priest already killed
earlier on, he talks with the priest, who is just, like, shaken.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's been confessed to about the Soylent Green as people.
Yeah, so
but he can't tell anyone because of the confidentiality.
Yeah.
So he's just kind of wrecked as a human being.
Yeah.
So he's wrecked. But at the very end, we do get Thorn in the church. And the bodyguard's just, like, shooting random people.
So the priest gets killed off because he knows too much. And then later on, essentially he's just running away from the bad guy and just so happens to go into the same church.
Knocks down all the beds.
Or purposely runs into it because it's full of people, right?
I mean, yeah, but then he gets all his people killed, so... Yeah.
Yeah, but it's established he's not a good person,
That's true.
Yeah.
He does just knock over people's beds with them in them as well, as you said.
That's true.
Look, he was getting punched in the face at the time, so I might forgive him for that one.
But Zach, how does the movie end?
Well, it ends with his arm in the air. that doesn't work for a podcast.
Visually, he put his arm in the air.
Visually, he put his arm in the air and he yelled, "It's people, it's people, it's people.
Soylent Green is people." Oh my God.
And it's not clear whether anyone actually believes him.
Mm. I doubt it.
Yeah, he's raving, he's been shot, he's clearly about to die.
Yeah.
No one's going to trust that. No.
But a rumor might start from it, you know.
Yeah.
Like a rumor system, you know. So
maybe.
This crazy guy was yelling about how Soylent Green is people. Can you believe that?
I don't know. I feel like all of the people who would have heard him... And maybe this is a problem with the movie. Everyone in this movie is just NPCs aside from the couple main characters. Yeah. So
yes.
They don't really show any revolutionary attitude at all.
Well, there is the riot.
There is the riot.
And he does tell the chief cop guy.
Yeah, but he's a bad guy.
Yeah, but he is corrupt. So,
yeah.
But it's left sort of ambiguous as to if anything comes of this or if the regime stays on. My thought is that it starts like a rumor or something.
Okay.
That, like,
you got a bit hard.
Eventually leads into something happening. But I think you're right that the chief cop or whatever, he doesn't do anything about it. He learns about this and then is racked by guilt and then has like a really dark scene when he retires where he's like, I could have done something about this, you know, that sort of thing.
Gotcha.
Throws his gun into the ocean.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be interesting to see where the world of Soylent Green goes from this point onwards.
Yes.
Maybe in a sequel directed by Denis Villeneuve.
Oh!
Blade Runner. I mean, Soylent Green.
Soylent Green.
2043.
Well, it is funny you bring that up, because I have an idea for a remake.
You've got an idea for a remake?
All right.
I think we're done with spoilers, so then let's jump over to remake. Zach, what's your idea for a
remake? All right.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is a little bit wild.
Okay, all right. We like wild here. We like crazy.
So this is not a movie.
Oh,
holy
this
shit.
This is an HBO miniseries.
Okay.
Written and directed by Jonathan Nolan and Lisa Joy of Westworld and Fallout fame.
Well, we don't know if Fallout's going to be good, though.
I believe it. Jonathan Nolan is more talented than Christopher Nolan. That is a fact.
The more talented Nolan?
I mean, when Jonathan Nolan stopped writing Christopher Nolan movies, those Christopher Nolan movies, their writing went downhill very quickly.
Interesting. You might be onto something. Okay, I'm down. I also like the idea of this as a series.
Yes.
I'm curious.
Because I was thinking that, like, there could be whole episodes about different characters.
Ooh.
Yep.
We could have a furniture episode.
Yeah, right. You could have a... Yeah. I can see this. Where you've got, like, different things that take the same space of time, but different scenario sort of things, you know. What's happening? How does a rich person live their life? How does a furniture live their life? How does a random orphan whose mum died tied to him, how does their life go, you know?
We go inside the church and we...
the priest.
Yes.
Like, all the things that he hears. That could be at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because that's tying the things all together.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's all interconnected.
I really like this idea.
That's cool.
This is a good idea, because like you could explore the world more. But then, would you do multiple seasons or just a
miniseries? This is 10 episodes.
Right.
Yeah,
that's it, and it ends exactly the same.
No. But it does get a spin-off sequel that is terrible and not.
Oh, of course. That checks out.
Yeah, it's called Fallout.
Fallout New Green.
Fallout New Green. That's
New
good.
Green.
Yeah.
I like this.
The only idea I had for a remake was casting for Solomon was the guy who plays Thufir Hawa in the new Dune movies.
Yeah, the Dune guy. Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah,
I was thinking Mandy Patinkin, but that's better.
I like him. Yeah. That's good.
I really like him as an actor, and I've only seen him in Dune, I think, so.
I like near the end of the season, you could have doing one of the workers at the plant as well.
Yes.
Who knows what they're doing, but, like...
He has to do it.
He has to earn money home, and then he, like... Oh, but he hasn't told his family what he does, and so he comes home and sees his kid eating Soylent Green, and he's like, fuck...
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
And he yells. He says the line, it's people.
Yeah.
But they just like, yes, it's people. Like The Walking Dead.
Yeah. I like this.
That's
That's cool.
Alright, so then we need characters. We got Solomon Roth, we'll have Thorn again as the main character, and then everyone else will just recast people who could have an episode about them.
Yes, is the 100%.
Idea who's the main character then? Who's a Charlton Heston?
Alright, well, today I've been watching a show called Monsieur Spade. It's got Clive Owen in it.
Clive Owen?
Clive Owen.
Mm-hmm.
He's a bit old now, so that might be a little bit whack, but Clive Owen.
He's in his 60s, but also I think Charlton Heston was probably in his 60s when this came out, maybe. He looked like he was.
He looked like he was, but he's still going till the 80s, I think.
I think that's good.
Yeah.
That comes from my original, because before the TV idea, I had the what if Alfonso Cuarón directed this and made everything brown. He made it all brown and gray.
That's funny.
Because
I want to have, you've got the rich, you got to have a rich guy.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have the lady playing the furniture.
Yeah, so we need her.
Who's the actress we're getting for that?
Yeah, we need furniture lady. We need maybe even the guy who's murdered can be the rich guy. We don't have a murder until a couple episodes in, so we can focus on him a bit more.
Oh, that's interesting. You could have a character, have an episode on them, move on, don't talk about them, and then in a later episode you come back and you just see that character's just dead.
100%.
And it's like there was no lead up to that, no nothing, it's just like they're just dead.
Well, that would reveal... Well, the problem, I think, with not necessarily doing this as a TV show, but with remaking this at all, everyone knows the twist.
Yes.
So do we just reveal it at the start?
Yeah.
And then go... Because then we could have the guy who gets murdered as the main character for the first couple episodes and then he gets killed.
Because
everyone knows the twist of Solomon Green.
It could be, we show someone who knows this but can't tell anyone or is trying to figure out a way where they could tell people that doesn't get them killed, later see them dead.
I like that.
That's good as well. Casting for, we'll go then for, the old guy who gets murdered.
Old guy Simon who gets murdered. Eric Roberts.
Eric Roberts?
The master from Doctor Who, the movie.
Is he still acting?
He does bad.
He does look like how.
Yeah.
He does bad movies. Just Tubi kind of stuff.
Oh, boy.
I mean, it sounds like he wouldn't say no to the role.
That's true. He wouldn't say no to the role. We could have. What does the guy look like in the movie?
Well, of course, that was the guy who played Joseph Cotton, who played Holly Martin's in The Third Man.
That's right, he's in The Bloody Third Man.
He's in The Bloody Third Man. So actually, maybe not Eric Roberts.
Maybe not Eric Roberts.
Someone a little bit... Someone a little bit cooler.
Could go for Ed Harris or Jeffrey Wright.
What about Jeffrey Wrong?
Because if it's Jonathan Nolan, we could bring some cast over from Westworld.
Jeffrey Wright is
a good one.
We could have Evan Rachel Wood as the furniture.
She would
100%.
Who were doing the furniture? I was going to say Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe.
We should get Daniel Radcliffe.
He's got experience playing an inanimate object.
That's
so
true. He does.
He does.
But on Bunch.
I think Evan Rachel Wood would do the role of Shell. Oh,
do you know what would be good? They have male furniture as well.
Of course.
Absolutely, they do.
Sexy male furniture.
Sexy male furniture.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Yeah. Or you get Zac Efron or something, you know.
Or the guy who's playing Superman, Corin Sweat.
The TV Superman or movie Superman?
Movie Superman. James Gunn Superman. Someone Corin Sweat?
David Corin Sweat, yeah.
This man furniture.
He plays the go-to sexy guy in all of Ryan Murphy's shit.
If we're talking sexy man, I'm obliged to mention Tom Hopper. That's only because he's my man crush, and I have to mention him in every episode.
Do you watch every episode of Black Sails for Tom Hopper? Absolutely.
No, I watched a specially edited and cut version where it's only the scenes where Tom Hopper is in. Resident Evil is like 2 minutes long.
Oh, that sounds good.
Honestly. Yeah, yeah. It's much better because it's just Tom Hopper. It's great.
Such a weird choice for Wesker.
It's so weird.
What were they doing?
Choice. Oh, so weird.
The choice in the TV show was better. That's
it
sucks.
Was. Let's Reddick.
Evan Rachel Wood as Cheryl. How did Westworld end, by the way, Zach?
Okay.
Did it end on a cliffhanger? What happened
it
there?
It did end on a cliffhanger.
No, that's a shame. I stopped watching after season one, so
I'm
also similar.
They're going to put people in another simulation and test whether they deserve to live or not, and that would have been season 5.
Oh, that would have been a good season 5.
Yeah, and they went back to Westworld, and it was like, oh, it's right. A Western again.
Guys, what if Soylent Green is just a simulation?
Ooh,
or it's a test to see
shit.
What people do.
And it's secretly season 5 of Westworld.
Yeah.
Brilliant! That's it.
It all ties together. It's one big extended universe. That's what all of them
that's
want.
That's great.
All right, that means Martha is going to be played by Tandaway Newton.
Yeah. Mm, yeah,
that's happening.
That's right.
But it's all like an experiment to see what people will do if they're in these situations where people are being eaten.
Yeah.
It's all a big future science test.
We need someone to play someone on the street then.
Ah, yes.
We could go for the priest.
The priest.
We've got the priest. My thought was just like a street urchin or something, you know, someone who's just like a nobody in the crowd, right? You know. Because there's like thousands of these people.
So not
right?
Tom Hopper.
Yes, Tom Hopper. He is the sexiest street urchin.
Street urchin, yeah, for sure.
Sexy street urchin.
For the priest, we could go for... Who
Danny
would be?
DeVito.
That's pretty good.
It's funny. The problem with Danny DeVito is he's really funny in any role you put
that's
him
true.
In. It's
true.
Really funny that you put Danny DeVito in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, he's a street urchin, just... You know, he's a priest. Ah, yeah. He's a rich old man, you know, smoking a cigar, right? He's a piece of furniture... But he's like an older piece of furniture that no one wants anymore, right?
Yeah. Ooh,
like,
yeah.
You know, there's a lot of things where it's just funny that you put Danny DeVito in it.
That's true.
That's pretty good. My pick for the priest would be an actor called Alfre Woodard.
I just saw her today in that show, Monsieur Spade.
Oh,
she appears.
Yeah. There you go.
I know her as the bad person for most of Luke Cage.
Oh
she
my.
Yeah.
Mariah.
That's good. Yeah. I like that a lot. That's a good pick.
That's a cool choice.
That's a base choice, Andrew.
Thank you.
You're very like base today.
And then for your character, the street person, who should play
Tom
him?
Hopper.
Not Tom Hopper.
Yeah, no. Who? You could do, speaking of Toms... And hopping around, swinging from...
Oh, Tom Holland. Hey, I'm a little orphan.
Yeah, right?
The street.
I feel like I'm typecasting him here, right? As just man-child, but, you know...
I don't think he'd do it, but I'm going to put him down.
All right, I like it.
Or the main lead in Wonka and Dune, right? He has...
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, he's got a young look on him. He's
he
hot
wouldn't
on the
do
block.
A TV show,
he's
though.
Hot on the block.
Yeah, no, he wouldn't do a TV show because he's too hip and
cool. Too hip and famous.
Oh, he did an Apple TV show.
Yeah, back when he was lame and dumb.
No, recently.
No.
Recently.
I disagree.
Yeah, recently, like, because it was, because Tom Holland had his,
Was it yesterday?
Oh, wait, Tom Holland, yeah, he did do a TV show recently.
Because he was having his mentee bee, and he was like, I need to get away from movies for a while.
That's fair.
And then he
so
did
maybe
that.
Maybe we can convince him.
Tom Holland in the strip. My go-to was Thomas Brody Sangster.
Yeah. He's another typecast into playing children,
even though
he's like 40 years old.
I saw the first episode of The Artful Dodger.
Oh, boy.
Disney
was
Plus.
It good?
No, it's fucking terrible. It's awful. It's set in Australia, but no one's got an Australian accent because colonizing Australia. I'm like, this guy. He's like, I'm cut people up, but I'm a cool guy. And I'm like,
I'm a cool guy.
I'm making references to Oliver Twist because this is a sequel to Oliver Twist for some reason. I'm like,
cool
what's
guy.
Going on? Anyway, I think that's a pretty good remake.
Yeah, I'm kidding. Who's our assassin dude?
Oh, yeah, we need an assassin.
We got a lot of characters, but...
There's a lot of characters.
But it makes sense because we've got to make, like, 10 yeah. episodes, right?
Yeah,
so we do.
There'd be a lot of characters.
And they're all going to be an hour long.
Oh, God. 10-hour-long movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, you could have it like a, you know, like an Andor situation.
Yeah, exactly. An assassin. Speaking of Andor, he could do it, actually.
Oh, yeah.
Tony Gilroy.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
I mean...
The guy who wrote Andor definitely could do this as well.
Yeah. No, because he does play an assassin.
Diego Luna. Yeah.
I'm down for that.
Absolutely down.
Because he also works as like a bodyguard for a rich guy, right?
Yeah.
But he's actually just this corrupt guy.
But you actually like have some kind of like pathos and sympathy for him towards the end.
You learn his situation as well. Yeah, exactly.
We have an assassin episode.
Because, like, pretty much all these actors, aside from Robert Thorne, you could only do one episode with them. They're too famous.
True.
Like, Tom Holland, that's the best bit about our series, right? You only need, like, the guy in for, like, one or two episodes.
Yeah, exactly.
Which works out really well.
So that's cool
because we can see him and sympathize, but then see him, like, beaten up by the cop, right?
Yeah.
Because he's a bad guy and he sent people after him and other things, but we can learn that he's doing this for, you know, his, like, 12 children or whatever. You know, like, you give him a sob backstory to relate to, you know.
That's right. Well,
oh, ties around.
Well, there we go. That is our entire episode on Soylent Green.
What a great remake idea.
Thank you.
I'm going to take full credit for it because you're all in my mind.
That's true. It is your karma.
Therefore, the part of my brain that doesn't know that Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles exist came up with this entire idea.
God damn it. Comas don't exist.
Comas don't exist.
And I didn't see a part of your brain be given a personality in real time. I didn't see it. I'm denying it.
It's a great personality.
Speaking of that personality, though, Zachary, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yes. No worries.
What's your stuff? Where are you? Who are you?
I don't know. Who am I? Well, I'm going to be in Shakespeare Ghostbusters. Yes, a project that you and I are a part of.
And we're all in Zach's brain, so he's a part of it too.
Yeah. You're a part of it too? Yeah.
It makes me feel good.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Let me just get the dates up for those.
That's important.
That is important. I should know.
We're
about to start rehearsing soon.
You're in the show. I don't know.
I'm in the show. Well, yeah. you have to do the sound.
My favorite part about this is you're going to your own Facebook page to find out the dates for your show that
I'm
you're
leaving
upon.
This in. I'm leaving all this.
That's very funny.
It's Tuesday the 9th to Saturday the 13th of April at the Irene Mitchell Studio.
As someone who has seen Shakespeare Aliens, I can officially say that these things are absolute bangers and you should go check it out.
Yeah, and Zach didn't get to see Ghostbusters the first time around, so
no,
we'll
I
have
didn't.
To come see it this
no,
time
didn't.
Around.
Yeah.
Come on down.
I'm fully planning to.
Yeah, at the Melbourne Comedy Festival. I think you can get tickets at comedyfestival.com.au, I think is the
I believe
festival
so,
website.
Yes.
So,
that's
yeah.
the one.
Go Very get them cool. there.
I'm playing Winston Zeddemore.
That's right.
Ooh. I'm busting them ghosts.
You are?
Yeah. I'm going to shave this beard into just a mustache.
Oh my goodness. That's bold.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's wild. Happening.
And, heard it here first.
You heard it here
Go
first.
Go see a glorious mustache.
There it is. There is the stash.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
It's worth the price of admission alone.
Absolutely.
That's right. Yeah, go see that show. Are you doing anything else?
I'm writing a book.
You're writing a book?
I'm writing a book. We're only 8 chapters into the writing process, but it's called Cannibal Kitchen.
Whoa,
yeah.
I'm going for it.
Yeah.
Holy shoot.
And
so appropriate.
Yeah, it's
no
about...
we got you on the show.
Of course.
Cannibal expert.
Cannibal expert over here. It's about a world where there is nothing edible.
Right.
But people.
Whoa.
I know, right?
I can relate to that.
I can relate to this.
I saw a movie that's quite similar to that.
And you follow the butcher and his journey. His journey in this terrifying world that sends him across the world and into space.
All right.
Whoa.
Yes.
That's my space? Favorite part of any series is when they get the main character who's also from Friday the 13th and then they take him to space.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jason X is everyone's favorite movie.
Absolutely.
That sounds great. And links to your socials to keep up to date on that, they're all in the episode description. Check him out.
That's very cool.
Speaking of Jason Voorhees, though, if you like the show, you want to help out, patreon.com/oldiebuddygoodiepod, because Zach, this month's bonus episode is out. It's on Jason Takes Manhattan.
Ooh. Which doesn't take place in Manhattan very
no.
much.
No!
Really doesn't, does it?
But the stuff in Manhattan was pretty good.
Yeah.
That's the one where the kickboxer tries to...
Yes.
Oh,
that's a great scene. That's probably the best kill.
I would say that's the best kill in the movie. Yeah. That is that movie. That's up on Patreon. Our next bonus episode for March is going to be...
Donnie Darko.
Donnie Darko 2.
There's a second one?
There's a second one, apparently. We saw the first one the other year, and now we're, for some godforsaken reason, doing the second one.
I didn't even like the first one very much.
No, Sandro, I was on board, though, because it was timey-wimey and weird.
Is it another Gyllenhaal? Like a Maggie Gyllenhaal?
No, it's his sister, who's been recast, I think. It's the one who says to suck a fuck, I think, in the original.
A classic line.
She has her own adventures with Frank the Rabbit, I guess. I don't even know. It looks terrible. We'll watch it and review it on Patreon. You can also get ad-free and bonus episodes up there as well. I mean, I already mentioned the bonus episodes, but yeah, there's ad-free stuff there too. We're on Facebook and Instagram if you want to keep in touch. Thanks to everyone who's reviewed us on every podcast platform where you can review us. If you haven't reviewed us, if you're on a podcast platform that doesn't let you review podcasts, get off that podcast platform.
Whoa.
Go to a different one.
Whoa.
Get out of here, son.
Review us there. That's what I reckon. What do you say, Zach?
I don't mind. Yeah. As long as you were listening and enjoying.
As long as you press play.
The best thing you can do to support us is keep listening and having a good time.
And if you're listening to us on YouTube, drop a comment saying, where's the movie?
Where's the movie? Sandro, the other week, he just sends me this random picture out of nowhere, and I look, and it's just a screenshot of this thing is saying, where's the movie?
There's a comment on our Hold the Ghost episode.
Nice, nice.
Made me laugh. I don't know if it's someone who listens to
really,
the podcast.
You should really... That's true. It could be someone listening to the podcast and just pranking us. I mean, you should really put, like, podcast in brackets just before each of our titles.
Who are these people that really want to watch Hold That Ghost?
I don't know. It's
very
funny.
All the time. We get those all the time. Hold Our Ghost, yeah.
Anyway, Zach, you got to pick next week's movie, which is from 1974.
Ooh.
1974, and Zach, straight out the gate, I reckon you should pick the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yes, 100%.
I love that movie.
But we did just do a good movie.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre is great. It's gross.
It's so good.
It's grimy. It's also not gory at all.
No, it's not. There's this scene where a man just drops a hammer, an old man. It's great.
I love it. It's a good movie. And then the sequel's fucking hilarious.
The sequel's amazing. It's Dennis Hopper's
Zardoz
best performance.
Or Zardoz.
Zardoz?
Z-A-R-D-O-Z.
I have no idea what that is.
In the far future, a savage trained only to kill finds a way into the community of bored immortals.
Ooh.
That alone preserves humanity's achievements.
You know what? I'd watch that.
That one actually sounds pretty great.
Oh, what about The Man with the Golden Gun?
I think that's
Roger Moore's first Bond film.
It's got Hervé in it.
Yeah, it's
Mr. Scaramanga.
Got Christopher Lee. Yeah. He's the bad guy. I don't know. That could be fun, Zach. That could be fun. More James Bond.
What about the Dynamite Brothers?
Oh.
Which is a street fighter and martial arts expert challenged a corrupt, organized crime leader and his murderous henchmen.
That sounds fun.
Ooh. It has 15% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Ooh! Double digits?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Oh, this is a movie I've always wanted to watch. Phantom of the Paradise.
Oh, of course.
Which is a sci-fi rock opera that's based on Phantom of the Opera, except it's a rock opera, and it's in space, so it's also a space opera.
Whoa!
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah.
What about Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Did you say Stroker? You said Stoker. For a second, it sounded like you said Stroker.
Stroker? I hardly knew it.
Bram Stoker's Dracula from 1992?
That's not 1974.
No, it says 1974 right there.
Wait, who plays him? Is that Christopher Lee?
I don't know.
Oh, Jack Palance.
It's a different one,
Sandra. It's a different one.
One that came out this year for some reason.
What about Black Christmas, which is a slasher movie That is very good because it's got the line, the call's coming from inside the house in the movie.
Ooh,
it's pretty good. Huge. Oh, wait, no. What about Flesh Gordon?
Oh, oh my goodness.
Emperor Wang is leader of Planet Porno and sends his mighty sex ray towards Earth, turning everyone into sex-mad fiends. Only one man can save the Earth, football player Flesh Gordon.
That's the one, yes.
Don't pick this.
Stop being horny on Maine.
Why is this in the IMDb list of best movies from 1970s?
It's the best.
A, it might be good. You don't know, Sandra.
Oh, Dark Star, John Carpenter's first movie?
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah. The Terminal Man.
Oh.
Which is an interesting one. There's a guy who inserts a microcomputer into his brain to get rid of seizures, but it all goes wrong.
He becomes a terminal.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's pretty good.
Godfather Part 2.
Oh, Godfather Part 2.
It's one of the best goddamn movies ever.
Hey, we're not film bros, though, Zach.
That's true. You're not film bros.
Do you know what we did? I actively picked frogs over The Godfather.
You did.
And Frogs was the worst movie I've seen in 2 years. So, you know what? Let's keep that streak going, I say.
Chinatown's meant to be good, but it is Roman Polanski.
That is true. Yeah. And that is the most film bro you can go.
Yeah.
Let's not. Instead, Sandro, I'm thinking, now hear me out, Blazing Saddles and Young Frankenstein.
You're picking two movies that are directed by Mel Brooks and they both star Mr. Willy Wonka.
Yes.
Ooh. It's Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
I've never seen Young Frankenstein.
It's great. I think it's so funny.
I've seen clips of Blazing Saddles out of context.
I've never seen that one.
So hell yeah. Because that's a parody of horror films and then also a parody of westerns, which are two things we did a lot of-ish last year. So that's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Well, we'll do that next week then. It's kind of awkward having someone else here.
Yeah.
Do I teleport us both to the next year?
Well, I think I could probably just absorb Zach back into my brain.
Yeah, I'm just... It's all your mental illness, man.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what?
My what now?
I didn't know that this was a Screen Australia movie.
Whoa! All right, and for that comment, you're going back in here, big boy.
I'm pointing
to my brain. I'm pointing to my head. I'm going back in here, big boy.
Oh, you did it before I could ask Zach Rose if I should let you have a break or not.
Oh, you can ask him. He's in my head
still. We're just going straight to the next year. You've lost your chance.
Oh, no.
1974, here we go.
Can we have a break?